Time to talk some Red Sox baseball as we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Jen McCaffrey of Mass Live and the Springfield Republican. Jen, good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, maybe better than John Farrell is, as you wrote about, despite the fact that he got that contract extension, this frustrating season for the fans, he's certainly not guaranteed to stay around just because he got that extra time.
Yeah, that was something, that I had at the beginning of the season when everyone was sort of talking about the excitement of this season and how this team was the favorite in the AL for the World Series. And now here we are, 2 months later, and things aren't maybe quite as optimistic as they were back then. But, yeah, kind of coming into the season was thinking about how they gave him that contract extension in December. Through 2018, I believe. But as we all know, kind of in baseball, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. And he's still on the hot seat. And I think we're starting to see that a little bit more, over these past few weeks, especially with kind of the ups and downs this team has been through, especially this past weekend in Oakland.
Is the best thing in his favor the fact that there doesn't seem to be an immediate successor on the horizon?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I don't think that this is anything that would be an immediate type thing, that they're going to go out there and fire him tomorrow. But at the same time, he's got to be feeling some pressure given the underperformance, of this team sitting right around 500 with all these guys, the success that they had last year reaching the playoffs and obviously not getting further. And then, bringing in a lot of these key guys and all the off-season predictions that were kind of levied on this team and where they are now. And obviously the injuries haven't helped, and they've had a tough blow with a lot of different guys. But I think the fact that there's not really someone that you could really think of that could replace him, in the interim, works in his favor. And also, we haven't talked to Nombrowski in a little while about it, but said in the past that, this is his guy, sticking with his guy. Ownership has said that time and again. I'm just curious, if that's still the narrative. And obviously they're not going to come out and publicly say that while he's still managing. But at the same time, it's just a curious thing to see how long they'll keep going in this, if they keep going in this direction.
It's been a season of fits and starts. So we're just about at the quarter mark for the season. What do we know about this team?
I think that's probably, the most frustrating thing is that we can't really figure out what we know about them. The pitching has had, the starting rotation, by and large, has been the biggest strength so far. And that's not even counting, David Price has been missing. So you see what you can kind of get from him when he gets back. But Eduardo Rodriguez has been terrific so far. Obviously, if you can't say anything more about Chris Sale and what he's done coming in. Rick Porcello, we knew he wasn't going to be the same guy as he was last year, but he's been fine for them so far. So that's been kind of the biggest, the strength there. There's question marks, obviously, with that fifth spot and with Pomeranz, but that kind of core that they have going those three guys I mentioned are strengths. But then we kind of look to the offense, and like you said, there's been the fits and spurts. They'll score 10 runs and then they'll be shut out, and it seems to be going back and forth and back and forth. So whether that's, it seems like it's more they need to just start clicking together and trusting one another in the lineup. And there's David Ortiz is obviously not there to kind of rally the troops, but the times we've talked to Farrell about what's wrong with this offense is that he's saying they're trying to do too much individually and not kind of go off of what the person in front of them is doing.
You wrote about David Price yesterday, and he's got another rehab start coming up on Wednesday. Last time out, it didn't go so well for him. If he does pretty well Wednesday, what's the timeline for him finally getting into a Red Sox game?
Yeah, he's supposed to try to get up to, the goal is to get to 85, 90 pitches. And if he does that on Wednesday, I don't see a reason why they wouldn't activate him after that. His wife just had the baby. That was something that we weren't sure how that was going to affect his timeline as well. But his wife had their baby last week. So he's kind of in the clear with paternity leave and all of that situation. So, you know, I don't see if he does, if he comes out and pitches 85, throws 85, 90 pitches on Wednesday in Pawtucket, you know, I could see him getting activated, you know, by next turn in rotation. So sometime for next week, 5 days after Wednesday. So we'll see what happens Wednesday. Obviously, if he goes out there and can't get to the 85, 90 or, you know, gets lit up and, you know, or comes off the mound and isn't feeling great, then it's a whole nother story. But this past Friday when he was supposed to, when he made that first appearance and he was supposed to get to 85, 90 and only got to, I think it was about 65 pitches, and they took him out after two innings because they were long and really kind of laborious innings that he threw. They were kind of, I guess, steering on the side of caution and didn't want to throw him back out there and have to throw another 25, 30 pitches in a third inning. So, yeah, you know, if everything kind of turns out well on Wednesday, then I could see him being back with the team, you know, by the weekend.
We're talking with Jim McCaffrey here on Downtown. You mentioned David Ortiz, and clearly they miss his bat in that lineup, but is it possible they miss his leadership even more?
Oh, sure, yeah. You know, I think, and they've even, we've been asking guys that all season, and Xander Bogaerts, you know, finally admitted it a few weeks ago when he said that, you know, they do miss him, and you know, but he's not coming back, and they kind of need to figure out how to move on without him. But yeah, I mean, just the personality, the way he would kind of keep things light when they were down and out. They have a lot of young guys in this team, and so that sort of becomes the new identity of this Red Sox team, is this young core. And I think the Red Sox were, I think front office was hoping that maybe they'd, this young group had learned enough from Ortiz over the last couple of years that maybe they could continue, you know, continue on without him and, you know, carry on what they learned from him. But there's obviously going to be some, you know, bumps in the road along the way, especially when you take someone out, someone like him and someone not even just of his offensive caliber, just the personality and the life that he kind of brought into the clubhouse. And there's, you know, you're replacing him on a lot of different levels. So, you know, I think they're figuring it out. But it's, you know, I think if the fact that we thought it might've been a smoother transition, probably was, not the smartest, for us to kind of project that.
Todd Frazier's name keeps coming up in a lot of rumors. He's struggling to get over the Mendoza line. I think only has four homers so far this season. Is he the answer to their problems at third base?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say no for now. You know, over the past couple of years, though, I feel like we can never predict what Dombrowski's going to do. So I guess you can never say never. But I think at this point that they're, you know, looking to see when they can get Pablo back. And you know, he's been in Pawtucket for a little while. He hasn't really hit that much down there. I think he's only 1-for-9 in the few games he's been. But if he can, you know, if he's down there for another week or so and maybe can get a couple hits and kind of see what he can do once he gets back to the team, I think that they're going to look in that direction first before they start, you know, making any moves outside the organization. And on top of that, you know, They have Rafael Devers and Devers in Portland, and he's been doing tremendously well, you know, through the first couple months of the season. And you know, he's only 20 years old. They don't really want to rush him along, and they've said that multiple times, you know, throughout the beginning of the season, that you know they're not thinking of calling him up, But you know, we've seen a similar timeline with Benintendi and Moncada the past couple years. Of guys in Double A kind of making a quick jump. So we'll see by the end of the season, or maybe not even the end of the season, maybe by July or August, midway through, you know, how he's still doing and if they're still, you know, searching and if that's something that they feel more comfortable doing. So I'm not sure that they want to go out and make a move right now if maybe they want to see if they can get by until they can kind of call him up. But, you know, I don't see a move for Frazier anytime soon.
Well, I guess the good news is, as consistently inconsistent as they've been, no one's running away with this thing. Here they are playing pretty mediocre baseball, but only four games out of first.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think it's easy for the fans and kind of the media, too, to focus on this panic narrative. But as the players and Farrell in the front office keep saying, you know, it's a long season, you know, this is only the quarter mark, and again, it's not like they're 10 games out. They do have pretty tough competition with Baltimore and with New York, but still, there's a lot of games left against those teams, and I think, you know, they're trying to figure out the balance of you know, how long can we sustain this sort of level before we actually need to sort of kick it into high gear to get in a groove to make this more of a competitive division.
Jen McCaffrey, Red Sox beat writer for Mass Live and the Springfield Republican. Jen, as always, great talking with you. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.